Let's open our Bibles to the book of Ruth this morning. It's in the Old Testament. Symbols are a part of every culture. And behind symbols are ideas and associations or connotations. For example, when we see the swoosh, we think of Nike and falling stock prices. When we see an apple with a bite out of it, we think of expensive phones and computers. When we see the automotive design known as the bow tie, some will think of Chevrolet, and if you're really old school, you might think of Dale Earnhardt if you're a NASCAR fan. When we see a cross, we typically think of Christianity, and when we see a steeple, we think of a church. Now, we just observed a symbol. As we said earlier, baptism is a symbol of cleansing. It's a symbol of our immersion into life with the triune God. It's a symbol that we have identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Some symbolism is unique to specific cultures. For example, there are certain hand gestures that mean one thing in this country and mean something entirely different in others. I know a man who teaches and writes about CQ. CQ is short for cultural intelligence. And he has written a lot of books and travels all over the world helping cultures understand one another. If a business wants to make a good first impression in a different country, it's a good idea for them to spend a little money up front to understand the symbolism and the gestures ahead of time. I'm mentioning all this because the text that we're going to look at this morning in Ruth has some strange symbolism. And if we are only looking at it through Western lenses, that is, through American lenses, then we're going to miss or misinterpret what is actually happening in this story. If you haven't been with us for this study, I'll just give you a quick synopsis of what's happening. The Old Testament book of Ruth is about God's faithfulness to his covenant people and to individuals. Ruth was not a Jew. She was a Moabite. She was a widow living with her widowed mother-in-law. She'd been gathering grain as her only means of survival in a field that was owned by a man named Boaz. Boaz heard that she was a foreigner who had cared for her mother-in-law. He took notice of her, the text says. That means he looked on her with compassion, he had respect for her, and he took care of her. And according to Mosaic law, it turns out that he was close enough in her family circle to redeem her dead husband's property and take her as his wife to preserve the family name. When her mother-in-law, Naomi, learned about this, she suggested a plan to inform Boaz of their desire. Ruth said she would do everything that her mother-in-law, Naomi, instructed her to do. So let's see what happened, starting in verse number 6 of chapter 3. So she, that is Ruth, went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled, and he turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" So she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative," or a goel, a redeemer. Then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men," or choice men is the Hebrew word, "whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now, it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of the close relative, or the goel, the redeemer, if he'll do that for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Now lie down until morning. So she lay at his feet until morning, and she rose before one could recognize another. Then he said, do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. Also he said, bring the shawl that is on you and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley, and laid it on her, and then she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, that is, the mother-in-law said, is that you, my daughter? And then she, Ruth, told Naomi all that the man had done for her. And she said, and these 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out, for the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. Now let's take a look, first of all, at Ruth's request. You know from the text that Boaz had worked hard all day. He ate a meal. He finished his beverage. He decided to lie down and go to sleep. It was dark. He settled into a heap of grain. I don't want to talk about this too much because some of you will fall asleep right here in church this morning. He put his mantle over his feet and out he went. It didn't take long. Day of hard work, full tummy, comfy, out he went. Ruth came quietly and she lifted up the mantle off his feet, pulled the corner of it over herself and laid down. This is what Naomi instructed her to do because this was the symbol in their culture that Ruth was inviting Boaz to redeem her husband's land and her with it. Her dead husband's land and her with it. She was willing to come under his wing. She was willing to come under his protection. Now, have you ever had the sense in the middle of the night that there was a presence? Before Diane and I were married, I would sometimes spend the night with their family. They had an extra bed in the basement, and I slept in the basement. One night I was sound asleep, and I'm a side sleeper. You know, I sleep on my side, and I was sort of curled up, and I had this sense that something was in bed with me. And I thought, this can't be right, so I stirred a little bit, and as I turned my head, I looked over my hip, and their cat had decided to snuggle up in that spot, you know, between your legs and your bottom, and had his chin resting on my hip and was looking at me. Now, most of you, if you've been around here for more than 1 week, know how I feel about this. And to say the least, it was startling. The cat did live. I was in somebody else's house, you know, so I had to be careful. But I almost died, to be honest. Now, Boaz was startled. You know, he's just sound asleep. All of a sudden, he wakes up and there's somebody at his feet. It's dark. He doesn't have a light of any kind. And so he said, who are you? Now, it's interesting that she doesn't apologize. She doesn't waste any words. She just gets straight to the point. Who are you? And I don't think she slept until this point. I mean, if you got this situation in your mind, she lies down right there and she's waiting, like, is this dude ever going to wake up? And she said, I am Ruth, your servant. Take me under your wing, for you are a Goel, a family redeemer. There was no need to explain. Boaz knew exactly what she was asking. There was nothing inappropriate about this. This was culturally acceptable. He knew exactly what she was asking. Now, notice how Boaz responded. First of all, in verse 10, it says he blessed her. May the Lord bless you. He calls her my daughter. That word could also be translated my dear. Or those of us that went to Israel a few years ago, our guide often referred to us as my dears. My dears, she would say. At one time, we were on this tour, and I didn't know that the guide was standing right behind me. And I said, come, my dears, let us gather. And she said, I'm standing right here, you know. And I was like, oh, whoops, sorry about that. But I've continued to use that term now. I even call Jerry my dears once in a while. So if you ever hear me say, Jerry, my dears, don't, there's nothing weird going on with that. That's just, you know, that's just, that's it's a term of affection, you know. And he says, your faithful kindness, by the way, which is the word hasad again, same word that was used in chapter 2, verse 20. He said to her, your hasad, it just keeps on getting better. You didn't go after the young men. The word, as I said when I read through there, is choice men. You didn't go after the guys that are really good looking. You didn't go after the tan guys with the big biceps. And whether or not they had money didn't matter to you. That's what he says. Whether rich or poor, you didn't go after the young men. And money never entered the picture. The two things that were typically made much of, physical appearance and money, never entered the equation for Ruth. When she said, chapter 1, verse 16, that Naomi's people would be her people and Naomi's God would be her God, she meant it. And she knew that meant all that went with it. She learned that she had an obligation to the family name, and to the way to preserve it was to follow the law, even if it meant living countercultural. These folks that are getting baptized this morning, at one point they said, these are my people. And if that means getting baptized, that's what I'm going to do. I mean, it's weird, isn't it? Come out on a Sunday morning, get dunked in a tank of water. But these folks have said, you know what? These people are my people, and this is what it means. And so they did it. And she's doing the same thing. She's saying, these people are my people, and I am to redeem my dead husband's property, and this is the way that I do it. Now, Boaz went on to say, now, my dears, do not fear. Now, if you don't need anything else today, I bet you need those three words. Do not fear. Some of you this morning have stuff that you're afraid of. That might be all you need today is three words. Do not fear. Boaz said, I will do all that you request. He said, you know what everybody in town says of you? They say that you're a virtuous woman. It's very interesting to me that that's the same exact Hebrew word that was used for Boaz in chapter 2, verse 1. But there it was translated, a man of great wealth. Here it's translated, a virtuous woman. I think that's so interesting. In other words, these were two people of good reputation. So if you're wondering, I wonder what really happened at the haystack that night, you're not reading the text. Because the text says that they were both people of virtue. They both had a good reputation. They were people of integrity. But then Boaz says, while it's true that I am a Goel or a redeemer, there's a closer Goel than I. Now, what's surprising to me is that Naomi didn't know that. I'm really surprised that Naomi didn't know that. But it's not surprising when you think about how hard it is to keep track of all the family connections that are going on. You know, like my great great grandfather settled in Greenville in the late 1860s, and so then they married, the Shaws married into the Kents, married into the Petersons, married into the Bakers. All right. Now, have you ever heard of any Shaws, Peterson, Kents, or you know any of those names? I don't even know who I'm related to anymore. I have people come up to me and say, I think we're related. You know, you're like my second cousin, 14th time removed. And I'm like, great. Hey, it's good to know you, you know. I mean, how do you know how are all these connections are? And certainly in this land, that was possible that Naomi just missed this one. Now, whether Ruth's heart sank a little bit at that word or not, we don't know. But what we do know is the character of Boaz. He honored the law over personal desire. Man, that's powerful. He honored the law over personal desire because it was the right thing to do. And I love what he said next. He said, if the closer Goel will redeem you, then good. In other words, you will be redeemed, your husband's property will be redeemed, and you'll be cared for. But if not, he said, and I love the way the New Living Translation translates this. It says, as surely as the Lord lives, I will marry you. Woo! She got a little liver shiver right about that time. But they had to wait on the Lord for the outcome. See, this is when it's really tempting to just take things into your own hands. You know, so many times I think, friends, we have a situation where our personal desire runs contrary to what God wants. And the question is, will we take God at His word? Will we do what He says? And will we wait on the Lord for the outcome? Now, at that point, Boaz had two more concerns. First of all, he was concerned about Ruth's safety. Remember the time frame? This is the time of the judges. And if you've ever read the book of Judges, you know what can happen to people who are out wandering around in the middle of the night, especially women. Second, he was worried about her reputation. So he told her to stay the night. Now again, if you're steeped in Western culture, if you're steeped in Hallmark movies, then you think something untoward is happening here. It's so easy for the American mind to go there and say, oh, I know why he asked her to spend the night. You know, he was going to put the moves on her. That's how we tend to think in our Western mindset. You know, to the pure, all things are pure. And to the impure, all things are impure. He was concerned about her safety. So he told her to stay the night. They were at the threshing floor. And again, remember the era. It was safer there than traveling at night alone. That had to be a long night. I think sometimes wondering is worse than knowing. So many situations. Wondering is worse than knowing. But Ruth arose before the dawn, and Boaz told her to not let anybody know that she had been there. He was concerned about her reputation. If this didn't work out, nobody would have to know about it. And then, and this is not very romantic, but he said, before you go, let me give you something. And he gave her 6 measures of barley, which equals 2 ephahs. Now, if you remember from last week, I had the bag up here. I said she gathered 30 pounds. 1 ephah is 30 pounds of grain. So he gives her 60 pounds of grain. Now, that's not very romantic. I mean, he could have gone to Jared's, but he didn't go to Jared's. He says, here, come to the grain bin, and I want to give you 60 pounds of grain to carry home. It's like getting a vacuum for your anniversary. I mean, it's just not very, you know, romantic, but it worked. That was at least 2 weeks' worth of grain for 2 people. Boaz wanted Naomi to be cared for at the same time. Remember, he was a man of Hesed. And if you forget what that means, it means he believed that God had been generous with him so he could be generous with others. So Ruth went to the city. And Naomi, like a mom, was waiting up. Like it or not, moms never get over being moms. It's just in them. So she comes home. Now let's talk about Naomi's rest for just a second here. Verse 16, her question can be translated a number of different ways. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Is that you, my daughter? Is that you, my dears?" Her question can be translated a number of ways. It was dark, so maybe she just wanted to know who was there. Or she may have just asked, as it says in the margin of the study Bible, "How did it go?" Or some believe she was actually asking the question this way, "Are you still the widow Ruth, or are you Mrs. Boaz this morning?" Whatever her question meant, she also had had a long night. She was curious how the plan had worked out. So the text says, Ruth told her all that the man had done for her. Now, I have a hunch that there were more than a few words in that answer. You know, sometimes when people get excited or nervous, they represent a machine gun of words. I really have to be careful about it, but you know what I mean, right? I mean, some people have like 12 words for the day. Some people have 40,000. Yeah, and like Ruth was just loaded with multiple magazines at that point. She just, it was all coming out. And she's describing what happened. And he gave me 60 pounds of barley. And he said, don't go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Warren Wiersbe said, a man who sends a generous gift to his prospective mother-in-law is certainly a good choice for a husband. So Naomi said, sit still, my dear. Sit still. Now, again, you know, whatever else is going on in your world this morning and whatever else you're gathering out of this text, you add that phrase right there, sit still, to do not fear. And if nothing else has been helpful to you today, that should help. Do not fear. Sit still. There's enough there, I think, for most of us to take a lot of application. Ruth and Naomi had done everything they could do. Boaz was leaving the outcome to God, and Ruth and Naomi would have to do the same. When we have done all we can do in the divine human cooperative, we must rest in his good hands. Naomi was confident in the character of Boaz. What she says about him is this: sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. The man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. In other words, she was saying of him, his yes is yes and his no is no. Isn't it great when people do what they say they're going to do? Lawyers would be out of a job if people just did what they said they were going to do. If their yes was yes and their no was no, you wouldn't need a document that thick to make sure it happened. No wonder that Jesus taught this principle in the Sermon on the Mount. And if we're going to be representatives of him, if we're going to be salt and light in this world, then we should be people of integrity and truth. So to wrap up this morning, there are some really good lessons in these few verses. And God may have said something else to you here this morning, but here are five things that I thought would be good to keep in mind. First of all, just remember the power of the request when it's framed in the context of God's ways. The power of the request. Ruth didn't make any demands. In humility, she simply asked. And she asked in a way that would allow them both to walk away without regret. And by the way, a request is not a guarantee. We must be willing to receive no for an answer if we're leaving the outcomes to God. Secondly, remember the blessing and generosity of Boaz. He was blessed to blessed. He was loved to love. He was cared for to care for. And if you're a blessed person and you know you've been loved by God and you know you're a dearly loved child, that comes with a certain measure of responsibility. Number three, remember the integrity of Boaz to honor the law even when the desire for personal preference may have been very strong. This truly reveals our reliance upon God when we leave the outcomes to him. Number four, remember those little admonitions, do not fear and sit still. Those five words might get you through the week. And number five, remember that today has been a day of symbolism. And these symbols are connected, even though we're 3,000 years apart. Have you brought yourself under the protective wings of Jesus? That's a question that you need to answer this morning. Have you brought yourself under the protective wings of Jesus? That's what these people that were baptized this morning were saying by their immersion in water. They were publicly confessing that they needed a redeemer and that they are now under his wings and immersed in him. Now, would you just bow your heads for a moment and close your eyes and let me just remind you this morning, everybody this morning, that all of you can be a part of God's redeemed family. He's ready to bring you in. He's ready to take you under his wings, to make you the apple of his eye. And what Jesus did on the cross is evidence of his love for you. His resurrection from the dead is proof of his power. He wants to redeem you or to loose you from the debt and penalty of sin and give you life. And here's the great news, friends. Your humble request will not be refused. Scripture says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so if you desire to be a part of God's family and you're not, you don't have to jump through a bunch of hoops. You just need to say yes to him. Just tuck yourself under his wings. Just humbly request that he save you. He's mighty to save. And he will do it. Have you called upon God's name? Have you asked him to just receive you? He will. He will. He doesn't turn anybody away. You don't need to wait till morning to find out the outcome. He'll take you right now. Let's stand together, please, and close in prayer. Father, I thank you that you have made a way for us to be redeemed. Jesus, I thank you that you're our Goel. You're the one who redeems. And I thank you that you have all the provision necessary to care for us. And Lord, I pray that these words, "do not fear and be still," might come back to our mind as we go throughout this week, as we're tempted to fear, as we're tempted to take things into our own hands, as we're tempted to strive and to be anxious and to push buttons. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be mindful that you're with us and involved in our world and that you can be trusted with the outcomes and the outcomes of the outcomes. I thank you for these folks that were baptized this morning already and for those that are coming in the next service. And Father, I pray that you'll just watch over them, that you'll bless them and keep them, that you'll make your face to shine upon them. Lord, I pray that you'd give them peace. And I pray that as we go out today and go our separate ways, that we might go with the knowledge that we're safely in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a great day.